And now the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton.
Now here it is. All of us have sinned. Every one of us is a sinner. The only way that you can have a relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, is through the Lord Jesus, because He's the way. He's truth. He's the life. No man can come to God excepting through Jesus, because Jesus is the one who through His death and resurrection makes it possible for you and me to be forgiven of our sin, because when we trust Him, when we confess our sin and repent before Him and give our hearts and lives to Him, and He comes into our lives, our sin, past tense, is present tense forgiven, because Christ has already paid the price. He did that for me.
It's time for the Tuesday edition of The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton. His Bible-based preaching is something that we can apply to our lives in a very real and practical way as he begins a message about what it is for the first response, to be first responders, and how the first responders led us by their example in the book of Acts. We'll go to God's Word in just a moment, but Dr. Don wants us to begin by reminding you that we are here for you. We'd love to talk with you, pray with you, connect with resources. We can connect online at theencouragingword.org or this phone number, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We are here to encourage you. Now, Dr. Wilton.
But I'm going to tell you that God wants to and is going to speak in a very special way to you today. And I want you to be prepared and engaged and not distracted today. You give God the next 30 minutes of attention. And I'm just telling you, God is going to put something in you that will dramatically engage your life and fill you with such a power and a presence that is just fantastic. So I'm just one man, and that's my desire for you, is that you would be complete and courageous in Christ. That's what I strive for. I feel like I'm spending my whole life and striving for this, and I know that I have it, and I know how many times I am because of Christ in me. But I want more and more and more. So the first thing I'm going to do here today, which I did last week, I'm going to do for the next several weeks. You're going to see on the screen here a statement that I believe God has put in my heart to put up for you. Now I want to say something to you. And if you construe something out of this, that's not what I mean by this. You don't have to ask me. I'm one person in America. You don't have to ask me to stand up when the national anthem of America is played. You don't have to ask me to salute when we pledge allegiance to the flag. In this nation that loves me has given to me more than I could ever give back. You don't have to do that. And I'm just talking about the country, the place that I love, the people amongst it. You don't have to ask me that. You don't have to come and beg me and say, you know, Pastor, would you stand to attention and would you salute, would you be respectful when we pledge allegiance to the flag? You don't have to ask me that. And that is not based on whether I'm a Republican or a Democrat or whether I'm a this or whether I'm that or whether I come from over here or whether I was born in Africa like I was or whether I was born in the United States like most of you were. That's not predicated on that. It's got nothing to do with that. You don't have to ask me to do it. So I'm not asking you to do this. But I'm going to say, do you have to be asked to do this? Use it as a point of your own affirmation. I want you to listen to this. I am saved by His grace. I am instructed by His word. I am equipped by His church. I am empowered by His Spirit. I am sent by His great commission. Therefore, I am complete and courageous in Him. So I'm going to invite you to say this out loud with me. That's your choice. You ready? Let's do it. I am saved by His grace. I am instructed by His word. I am equipped by His church. I am empowered by His spirit. I am sent by His great commission. I am complete and courageous in Him. Let's give God a hand today. All right, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Acts and chapter 2. So everybody get out your copy of God's word and turn with me to the book of Acts and chapter 2. Now, as soon as you're there, just watch what I want to say. Listen to what I say, because this is very important, what I'm about to say. In Acts chapter 2, we're going to read the first response that came after the Spirit of God came down upon believers. This is what happened. I love looking and watching people who take a first response to something that they really believe in their own heart. So let me begin with my own life. The day I met my wife, Karen, all my life I'll never forget it. So I had been gone in the army for a long time, came back to Civvy Street, arrived on a Saturday, didn't even have any civvy clothes, so I had only army fatigues, so I had my boots on and so forth. And got there on a Saturday. I'd been gone in the bush in the desert for a long time. And chose to go to church the next morning. Some of you heard my testimony. I was only interested in one thing, checking the girls out. That's why I went to church. I'm being honest with you. I didn't go to church to hear the dude get up there and preach. I didn't go there to sing songs. I just wanted to see if there were any pretty girls there. I'd been in the desert long enough. Thank you. Right? So, hey, listen, now I'm just being honest with you today. So I'm sitting up in the balcony, and there she is on the second to front row, right there. I can't see the front of her. All I see is this beautiful hair, man, just going down her back here, just the way she moved, the way she stood up and sat down. I was besotted. I mean, it was over, man. Now I'm looking back after a few years now, right? I mean, it's easy for me to say that, but I can tell you something. I got no doubt about it in my mind. I fell in love with that girl when I laid my eyes on her. And do you know the result? You know what my first response was? It wouldn't matter to me what the reason was. I'm going down front. So when that preacher got up and had an invitation, I'm in. And I'm here to confess to my own congregation, I didn't go down for Jesus. I didn't do it. Jesus had nothing to do with me going down there. I went down there because she was there. Now God's got a plan for us, because that coming down in church, not for Jesus, but for a beautiful girl, God used that beautiful girl to turn my heart 100% to Jesus. See how that worked? Some of you are saying, oh man, I'm nervous. Now I know why I came to church. Right? And some of you are here for that reason right now. I know that, so when the invitation comes, I expect you first one down here in just a minute. That was my first response. Kind of like the raw data, you know? I couldn't have even properly defined it. So now watch this. We're in Acts chapter 2. Guys, you really need to get onto this today. Just listen. So here are this group of believers. They've been with Jesus. They've walked with Him, fellowshiped with Him, they've watched Him. And Jesus takes them to an upper room. So I'm just going to give you a little picture, and I'm going to stand on this first step here. The upper room is right here on my right-hand side. See, guys, like many of you, every time I go to Israel, I stand on that spot. And I preach this message, not the one you're hearing now. I preach from this text, this first response. It's called the Southern Steps of the Temple. It faces south. And right in front of me of these steps is the city of David. Behind me, over here, is the Temple Mount. You know, you've seen pictures, and many of you have come with me to Israel, and many of you evidently are coming again this. Hey, thank you. I just see a picture come up there. All right, so you see the Temple Mount, the Golden Dome. I'm standing on the Mount of Olives, looking toward the Golden Gate. I'm on the eastern side of the Temple Mount in that picture. The southern steps, if you go left or your right, as you're looking at that picture, you get to the southern steps that go down. They're steep steps. And to the right of those steps up on Mount Zion is the upper room. That's where Jesus gathered his believers, the disciples, and what did he do? He had the Lord's Supper with them, didn't he? And he said, "This is my body which is broken for you. This is my cup which is shed for you. Do this and offer as you drink it, remembrance me." And remember, it was the next day that Jesus was betrayed, and so the crucifixion began. So there it is, right there on Mount Zion. By the way, that's the same place where they claim that King David is buried. Most of us believe he's buried in the city of David, but that doesn't matter. That's Mount Zion. It's very, very important. Okay? So behind me here is the Golden Dome. Now, what about the Golden Dome, guys? The Golden Dome today is controlled by Muslims. Where is the Golden Dome? The Golden Dome is where Mount Moriah is. Mount Moriah is the same place where Abraham took Isaac in obedience to God's command to offer Isaac as a sacrifice to God. But God intervened right at the moment of impact and said, "No, I've got a better way. It's going to be through the shedding of blood." He was pointing to Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice for our sin. So watch this. When Jesus comes back again, remember when he left, I was standing there on the Mount of Olives. Right behind where I was standing is the Mount of Ascension. It's the place Jesus left. And the angel came to those believers and said, "Don't worry about a thing. I know Jesus has gone into heaven, but he's going to come back again." So the book of Revelation tells us about that in chapter 19. Jesus is going to land on the Mount of Olives. We're all going to be with him. Every person who believes in him is going to be with him. And he's going to march down the Mount of Olives right past those gravestones. That's the Jewish cemetery. Right past those gravestones, right past the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus prayed and said, "Lord, remove, Father, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not your will, but mine be done." He's going to cross over the Golden Gate into the sealed Golden Gate on the eastern side of the Temple Mount. And he's going to reclaim his throne, because Mount Moriah is the place of God's throne. That's the headquarters of heaven. That's where Jesus is going to reign for all time and eternity. You and I are going to be there. We're going to worship him forever. Recreated heaven, the Garden of Eden, will once again exist. We're going back to Genesis chapter 1 at the end of the world, where everything is perfect and without sin. All of God's creation. We're going back to Genesis chapter 1. Now you're going to say to me, "Now wait a minute, Pastor, what's this got to do with Acts chapter 2? Everything. Everything. Because these disciples who had sat with Jesus right there at Mount Zion, and then they watched him go and get crucified and tortured, they saw him put in a grave, they watched him as he rose from the dead, they watched him when he ascended and left the earth and went back into heaven, and they looked at each other and said, "What now? He's gone. What do we do?" First thing they were fearful of was just flat out intimidation.
You've been listening to the powerful teaching of Dr. Don Wilton. And right now, in this particular season, a few weeks before Easter, as we think about not only what happened at Easter, but the example of those first responders in that first century and how our responses need to be controlled, oh, there's a great deal more to come from Dr. Wilton. And so don't go away. But Dr. Don, insist I interrupt so that I'll let you know we're here for you. We would love to pray with you and for you. We can do that keyboard to keyboard on our website at theencouragingword.org. That's theencouragingword.org, or meet us on the telephone at 866-899-WORD. I know we text, we type an awful lot, but sometimes, especially in situations like this, we'd love to talk with you, pray for you at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We stand ready to connect with you, not just now during the broadcast, but 24 hours a day. We'd love for you to know that we're here to encourage you. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton on the first response.
What do we do? First thing they were fearful of was just flat out intimidation. They're going to get us. There's so much legislation going on. Our politicians are after us. Even the religious zealots, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, just because they crucified Jesus, didn't mean to say they're going to stop. They're going to crucify every Christian. You know what? They did. Remember Stephen? Remember Paul? Remember Peter? Remember James was thrown off the Temple Mount to his death? They did. They feared intimidation, which meant they feared isolation. Nobody wants to go to school, they said, on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and even look like a Christian, let alone sound like a Christian, because you'll be intimidated. And when you're intimidated, you'll become isolated because you're no longer in the popular group. They're going to leave you out. Are you kidding me? They don't want you to come to the dance. They're not going to invite you to the Friday night lights. They want some Christian coming in and messing up the vibe. You either conform or don't be there. Get lost. And that led to their fear of incapacitation. They just became paralyzed. They were incapacitated. I can understand that. They were just scared, half out of their wits. That's a very real thing, folks. That is real stuff. That's not like just kind of get out of bed, drink a cup of coffee, and get over it. Intimidation and isolation leads to incapacitation. Here they are. And all of a sudden, here comes the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. Jesus said, just wait, just be cool, man. Hang on. After that, the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I tell you, then you'll stand up and say, man, I'm saved by God's grace. You'll be able to say, I'm empowered by His Spirit. Yeah, I'm sent out by His great commission. I'm equipped by His church. I am complete and courageous. Not because of you, not because of me, but because of the Holy Spirit in you and me. And so it's at that point, here comes the first response. They had fallen in love with Jesus. They saw Him, knew Him, heard Him. They were scared to death. Here comes the Holy Spirit. What was the first thing that happened? Well, Peter took up position on the southern steps. In front of him was the city of David. Behind him, the Temple Mount. This was the gateway to the world. In fact, in Acts chapter 2, we are even told in detail where the people came from. They came from their known world. If this was written in America, they would come from every state in the United States. These people came from their known world, every corner, because Jesus died for all people. I am sent by His great commission. It involves all people of every kind, of every race, of every language. There is no color in God's eyes. This was the message of God's love for all people. And God had this first response delivered right there in the midst of the coming and going, here they were, hundreds if not thousands of people coming up to the temple to worship and to do whatever else they're doing. This is the city of David. This is the hub of the world. This is the centerpiece on the mantelpiece. This is the happening point. This is their New York City. This is their Statue of Liberty. Y'all come. And this is what Peter said. I'll begin at verse 14. Now Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and he addressed them. People of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. These people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour, but rather what you are hearing was uttered first through the prophet Joel, who said, "In the last days it shall be, declares God, and I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved." And so it is, men and women of the nations, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This same Jesus, delivered up according to the definitive plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men, but God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For even David, Mount Zion, the city of David, King David, even David said concerning him, "I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I might not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh will also dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You've made known to me the paths of life, and you will make me complete and courageous. You will make me full of gladness with your presence." And so it is, brothers and sisters, people, listen up. I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." Let all of the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And he said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "What shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord calls to himself." And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward, this corrupt generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. What can we say? What was this first response? What's it all about?
What a glorious invitation. Oh, and the invitation's open to you as well. Our time's about gone for today's edition of The Encouraging Word, but so much more to come in these next few days from Dr. Wilton. As a matter of fact, before you get away, Dr. Don has one more closing thought that he'd like to share with you. Because as we hear God's Word, we're compelled to respond to God's Word. Again, closing thoughts right now from Dr. Don Wilton.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that you love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to you. And I invite you to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful. I hope that you know how much I'm going to be praying for you and how very important this is for me. Call us so that we can talk to you and connect you in the right place so you can begin this wonderful journey. And in just a moment, I'm going to come back with a final word.
Across America, there are different views on when life begins and when it should end. What do you believe? What does the Bible say? When does life really begin? Join Dr. Wilton as he teaches biblical truths with compassion straight from God's Word in his classic and timely message, The Sanctity of Human Life. Plus, you will receive two bonus gifts, Why Pro-Life and Counterculture in a World of Abortion. These powerful ministry resources will help equip you with the facts to see life through the lens of God's Word. Request The Sanctity of Human Life, a classic and timely message on CD, and the bonus gifts for your gift of any amount to The Encouraging Word today. Write to us at Post Office Box 2110, Spartanburg, South Carolina, 29304, or call us toll-free at 866-899-WORD, or visit online at theencouragingword.org. Thank you for your support as we continue to proclaim God's truth around the world.
You know, before we go today, what a day of worship we've had. You know, you and I have in the middle of our hearts our beloved nation, don't we? How much I love America. I'm so proud to be an American. And you know, this broadcast is seen by so many of our armed forces across the world. And we hear from many, many of them. And we love them, we admire them, we respect them. They are our real heroes. And I want you to join with me as we are praying for them, that God would protect them and their families and loved ones. Let's do that right now, shall we? Just before we go, why don't you join with me? Lord Jesus, I'm joining with thousands of people right now and praying for our members, our brave, brave members of our community and our world who are in uniform. Many are overseas in strange and difficult places, families left behind. Lord Jesus, bless them. Keep your hand upon them in every way. In Jesus' name, amen.
I pray you have heard what I have heard from my pastor's heart in those words. For the last 25 years, I've been with Dr. Don Wilton for 25 years, and I can tell you this, that when he is talking about the change that will take place in your life, when you say yes to Jesus, that step of faith, what God has done for Dr. Don, for me, for so many more, he will do for you. He will set you free.